Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Philip.
All right. Now, we've got Sorry to Bother You and Anna and the Apocalypse, and then the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which I want to get to because that sounds terrific.
It really is.
That's on telly.
Yeah.
So that's on television. Movies first, though. Sorry to Bother You. What's this?
This is a very, 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 very interesting film. I first saw it when I was in Los Angeles back in July, and I was very afraid it wouldn't get to Australian cinema screens, and I'm very glad it has because it is essentially, it is black cinema. It is made by a black writer-director named Boots Riley, and the cast is mainly black. And unfortunately, very often those films don't get released outside of the United States because the distributors claim that there is not a market for black American cinema. So I'm really glad this has been because this is a very, very interesting and enjoyable movie. Boots Riley, I understand, is a kind of Renaissance modern artist. He does visual art. He makes music videos. He makes all sorts of things. This is his debut feature film. And it is about, on its surface, it is about a group of telemarketers in the city of Oakland, California, who are trying to unionize. Uh-huh. But to just say it's about a bunch of telemarketers trying to unionize would vastly undersell what this film is.
But that would be like saying Tin Men was about people selling aluminium siding.
Yes. Yeah.
When in fact, it was much more than that.
Well, this is really, it's trippy and funny and unique. And it also shares an really odd sort of thematic connection to Spike Lee's film that I think is still in the cinemas, Black Klansman was about this black cop who went undercover on the phone impersonating a white person by using his white voice.
Great movie, by the way.
Yeah, okay, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this, it is a great movie. It is a great movie. So this film shares a similar thing because the lead character of this film is a young black man played by Lakeith Stanfield, who's an excellent actor from this TV series called Atlanta, and he's working at this telemarketing firm and he's just not getting the sales, and then he gets told by this older black gentleman who's worked there that the key to success is to use his white voice. So it's sort of the same. So he's on the phone and he puts on this white voice and he becomes a superstar at telemarketing using his white voice. And in the meantime, his fellow workers, as I say, are trying to unionize. And so he becoming successful, but his girlfriend is part of the others and they're unionizing. And so does he follow his success and by doing so assume this sort of whiteness, or does he join his fellow workers who are almost inevitably people of color, not just black, but Asian and Latino, et cetera, and stick with them. So that's the central conflict. Even then we're underselling the movie because the movie is kind of like an episode of The Twilight Zone or Black Mirror. It's very funny. It's satirical. As I say, it's trippy. It's got flights of fantasy. It's a bit of a fantasia. There are sequences that are just so heavily stylized that they're almost like dream sequences, but they're actually part of the plot. It's very funny and it's really got something to say. I mean, when you're talking about a black man who's getting ahead by pretending to be white and then having to deal with that, it's interesting politically as well. It's really cool and very unique.
Okay, here's some from Sorry to Bother You.
Hey, young blood, let me give you a tip. Use your white voice.
Man, I ain't got no white voice.
Oh, come on, you know what I mean. You have a white voice in there, you can use it. It's like when you're pulled over by the police.
Oh, no, I just use my regular voice when that happens. I just say, back the fuck up off the car and don't nobody get hurt.
All right, man, I'm just trying to give you some game. You want to make some money here? Then read the script with a white voice.
When people say I talk with a white voice anyway, so why ain't it helping me out?
Well, you don't talk white enough. I'm not talking about Will Smith white. I'm talking about the real deal.
That's Danny Glover playing the older telemarketer, and Danny Glover's got such a great black American voice.
dear, that's funny. All right, Anna and the Apocalypse.
Here's the first Christmas movie of the season.
Hey.
This is a Scottish high school Christmas movie. So you meet Anna and you meet her misfit high school friends, and it is the night of the Christmas concert at the high school, and they've all got their dilemmas, and you know, two of the three friends are probably gay, and none of them, they're all trying to find themselves in whatever ways, and they're about 16, 17, And then you get a hint that you might be in for a bit of a zombie film as well, but it's definitely comedic. So you're thinking, okay, zombie comedy, Scottish high school. And then, I don't know how long in, about maybe 12 or 13 minutes in, they break out into song and you realize you're watching a full-on Scottish high school Christmas zombie musical comedy. Uh-huh. It is a real comedy. Like, it's not just, you know, music in the background. It's not just singing a song as like a pop song. There are original songs fully scored, and they break out into song and dance numbers that further the plot and elaborate on the themes and the characters. It is a full-on musical zombie Christmas Scottish comedy. And it's really, really fun. This is a good time at the movies. The songs are really good. And the humor's very pleasant. It's not the funniest zombie comedy ever made. I think the Citizen Kane of zombie comedies is Shaun of the Dead and probably always will be Shaun of the Dead. There have been a lot of zombie comedies since. There have been a lot of high schoolers versus zombies. There has never, to my mind, been a Scottish musical zombie high school comedy. It's charming. I love films like this that are very competently done, that show you a whole bunch of new actors that you've never seen before. I don't know if these young people are television stars in Scotland or not, or whether they've been on, you know, Celebrity Big Brother in Scotland, or whether they're all just fresh faces. But to me, they're all fresh. And that's part of the delight, because they're all really good at what they do. It's very, very, very gory, but always in a humorous way.
Sure.
So, you know, zombies get decapitated during dance sequences and stuff, but it's fun. It's charming.
This is Anna and the Apocalypse.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Young Anna was nestled, all snug in her bed, not knowing tomorrow she'd meet the undead. How would she survive what this season would bring? Well, that's simple. She'd stab, she'd slash, and she'd sing.
It is easily the best Scottish Christmas zombie high school musical comedy I've ever seen.
Because there aren't any others.
In a field of one, it's great.
All right. Now, television, the Coens are always worth looking at for whatever reason. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. This is on Netflix. It's a feature film on Netflix.
Yes, I'm thrilled to tell you about this, because just when you thought maybe all the great films of 2018 have come along, along comes the Coen brothers' latest film, and it is a great film. It's on Netflix, which will be surprising to many, and it was surprising to me, and now I understand why. It was conceived as a television series. Uh-huh. As you know, Netflix has more money than most conglomerates. It's got an enormous amount, and it's giving filmmakers a lot of money to do what they want. And so I guess it went into bed with the Coens and said, make a TV show. And so they were going to make a TV show, I suppose, of 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. And instead, what has resulted is this feature film that's on the long side. It's 2.5 hours, and it's what they call, or used to call, a portmanteau or an anthology film. So it's 6 separate stories,
but in the one film.
In the one film. Mm-hmm. And I think
they're not connected.
Well, they are connected because they're all about the Wild West.
Okay.
They're all set in the American old Wild West, and they're more connected than that. As the film goes along, they're more connected than that. I think the reason they gave up I don't know why they gave up the television idea and put it out as a feature film, but I think the reason is because the stories are wildly divergent in how long they are. The shortest of them feels about 10 minutes, where the longest one in the middle is definitely over half an hour. So that wouldn't have worked very well as a 6-part series. Anyway, it's worth watching as a 2.5-hour feature film, which is what it is, mm-hmm. because it's brilliant. So it starts with a couple of really funny films, and then the tone gets a bit darker and a bit more emotionally engaged. And by the end, you've laughed and you've been moved and you've really, really had a good time. So much of the Coen brothers' cinematic storytelling mastery is on display in this film. For a start, it looks incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, even though it's fun and some of the stories are just purely comedic. It's just funny, funny, funny. It is still shot with the care and precision as though it was John Ford. You know, every frame is a painting. The landscapes, the design, the sunlight, the sunsets, everything is gorgeous beyond belief. I mean, they must have been given a lot of money. This is, you know, this is $60 or $70 million feature film territory that they've been given to make this film easily. Okay. The cast is incredible. Almost everyone in every story, so it's a huge cast, almost everyone in every story is a famous face that you love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've really gone to town with the cast. The dialogue is extraordinary. So the first two short pieces, which are comedic, are really quite violent. And what it feels like the Coens are doing are deconstructing the violent mythology of the Old West for laughs. You know, they're saying like, oh, all these Old West movies we get, they're just so violent, full of gunslinging, so let's make fun of that. And then as it goes on, the sort of the violence drips away, and what it gets replaced with is language. And they have gone to town and they have written the best dialogue film of the year in the style of the way we perceive people spoke in the Old West, which was very, very well. Mm. The dialogue, I don't want to use the word poetic, but it's formal and erudite and beautiful. And ultimately they're contrasting that people in the Old West sort of lived rough by their actions, but spoke beautifully. And there were manners and decorum, and yet there were still people shooting each other in bar rooms. And it's just so well done. All of the stories are good. Some of them, as I say, are very, very moving. The music is absolutely beautiful and very much in style of like 1950s Westerns. It references classic Westerns. At times it feels like you are watching, you know, an old school Western, and at times it very much feels like you're watching pure Coen Brothers, but it's always beautiful.
Here's a little from the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
People are so easily distracted. So I'm the distractor with a little story.
People can't get enough of them.
Because, well, they connect the stories to themselves, I suppose. We all love hearing about ourselves. So long as the people in the stories are us, but not us.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nothing good is about to happen. There.
No, he's a very interesting character. He's British. There aren't just Americans, because, of course, people from all over the world went out for the gold rush.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so
there wouldn't just be American accents, no.
No. It is so well told. I just urge everyone to check this out. If you're not watching Netflix already, you can always get a free trial, because this is great. And I mean, on the way, it's kind of disappointing that this is not on the big screen because it's so beautiful. And the other thing is, it's so funny that I wished I was in a cinema full of people laughing with it, because it is so funny. This is great. One of the films of the year.
All right. Sorry to bother you. The movies, stars?
3.5.
3.5. The Anna and the Apocalypse?
3 stars.
3 stars. And Buster Scruggs, well, yeah, you're enthusiastic. Let's go and see it.
4.5 stars out of 5. It's just one of the films of the year.
Okay, fantastic. All right, terrific. CJ, thank you.
Thanks, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.